Look at the scripture this morning is Psalm 144. Psalm 144, a psalm of David. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and on an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our gardeners may be full according to all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there may be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Our text is the first one of those that verses, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. A prayer for our sons and our daughters. Even though some of our families, like my son, has only sons, or like your family has only, at this point, daughters. Notice that pronoun, a prayer for our sons and daughters. And even as Jesus and the Apostle Paul and Peter uses descriptions or figures to picture the church, whether from agriculture or whether as a building. So in this psalm, David pictures the rising generations of his kingdom as sons and daughters, our sons and our daughters, in contrast to verse 11 and verse, I think it's 8, 7, strange children. Our sons and daughters in contrast to strange children. David writes this psalm. David, who was a shepherd of sheep in his father's field. A David who had to flee for his life. A David who was made king over his people, first in Jerusalem and Judea, and later on in Israel. David, a warrior king. He had to drive out the enemies from the land, those dwelling there. because only God's people were given this land. He extends the border of His kingdoms from sea to sea. This psalm was written by David later on in his life with his victory over his enemies, enjoying peace. Oh, never perfect peace. Always God's people will have enemies, strong enemies, strange children attacking them. It is in the way of the destruction and the removal of those strange children that our children can enjoy prosperity in the kingdom. So David prays not only for the destruction of those strange children, but he offers up a prayer in our text for all the children of his kingdom. My theme is a prayer for our sons and our daughters. Notice the desire. Notice, second of all, then, the necessary prayer. And then, thirdly, God's wonderful answer. The desire of the heart, the prayer that is uttered with the lips, and God's answer that comes. What is David in this psalm concerned with? What is his desire? And the desire is the prosperity of his kingdom. Or if we're going to put it in today's terms, the desire of us is for God's church. As the greatness of the kingdom of David, what benefits would flow to it, so also the greatness of the difficulties that may hinder it or make it difficult. And so David prays, rid me and deliver me, verse 11, from the hand of strange children. He's talking there about the Canaanites. He's talking there about the Philistines. He's talking about the Moabites and the Amorites and the Edomites. Deliver me from the hand of strange children, not only those from without, but also those within. It was a wicked King Saul that was seeking David's life earlier and later on. It's from his own household, wicked Absalom. And as David now prays this for his kingdom, he is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ who prays for his kingdom, his church. Peter says, Jesus says to Peter, I prayed for thee that Satan may not have thee. So is a prayer for, first of all, children, sons and daughters. It's a prayer that there may be garnered in all kinds of fruit, that the garners may be full, that the sheep may be fruitful, that the oxen may be strong to labor, there's no more breaking in or stealing, that there may be no complaining in the street. David's desire is for a prosperous and a peaceful kingdom so that God's people experience His blessings upon them. Yea, happy is that people. That is in such a case, we read in verse 15, yea, happy is that people whose God is Jehovah. And on the very top of that list of God's blessings prospering His kingdom is strong sons and beautiful daughters. David is looking at all of the sons and the daughters of his kingdom. He is looking to the future. He is looking to the rising generations. He is praying that these sons and these daughters will grow up and be as plants and as cornerstones, respectively. David desires the sons will be like plants. We're not given here any kind of specific kind of plant or tree, but we are given in Scripture at times of the kingdom as a field, or as a well-watered garden, or as a vineyard, or as an orchard. And you're going to come this week in prayer day service praying for the farmers, whether it be a gentleman farmer or whether it be the greenhouses, where little plants are going to be put into the ground. May those plants be strong and have vigorous life in them. May those plants that are planted have a deep system of roots. As the psalmist prays in Psalm 80, verse 9, when he talks about Israel as a vine taken from Egypt into the land of Canaan, he says, "Thou preparest room before it, and it's caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land." So we want healthy plants that have deep roots that grow upward toward heaven. Ordinarily, they don't grow sideways. They don't grow downward, but they grow up toward the sunlight, both little and big plants. And eventually that those plants then will produce fruit. As we sang from Psalm 1, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season." What a picture we have of springtime. The trees with buds and then leaves and then blossoms and then fruit. And the desire is that we may have as a church sons that have that kind of vigorous life of a plant. Sons that are strong, strong to do battle. Strong spiritual life in them for doing warfare. As we read at the beginning of the psalm, verse 1, "Which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight." Hands and fingers that are adept to handling the word of God. Because our enemies are spiritual enemies. Our enemy is the sin within us, the temptations of the world around us, and the devil who comes like a roaring lion seeking to devour. So needed is strong, vigorous life so that our sons may fight sin with that sword, which is the Word of God. The desire is for sons who have a resilient life. That is, as plants can be very resilient, so that for a long time they might not get rain, or the wind blows, or the sun might be hot. We look for that in our children, in our sons, that they're not blown over with the philosophies of this world, that they don't cave into the sin without or within, but that they stand strong. Our desire is that our sons will have deep roots like a plant. That they will be rooted in God. That they will be rooted in God's Word. That they will have deep convictions. That they'll have a deep love and faith in Jesus Christ. Roots that dig deeply into Jesus Christ Himself. We are praying for sons that will grow upward to heaven. That is, that they will be devoted to God, that they will live in consecration to God. Not crooked sons. Not crooked sons who look over at the daughters of men, who point to the Philistines or the Moabites or the Syrians. But rather, we look for sons that are pointing toward God, devoted to God, with heart, soul, mind, and strength, that have a pious inclination, that have godly tendencies, that are devoted, that are sensitive to God. We desire sons
that bear fruit, that will bear much spiritual fruit to the glory of God and the good of His church. Notice in our text, the emphasis is that these plants are grown up in their youth. In their youth. Our prayer is that our children, our sons, will mature early in their life and quickly. Because in this world, there is an emphasis that men have the right to be godless or profane or to sow their wild oat seeds. And the world says, well, that's just a phase of life. That's just a stage of development that they live for a little while like the devil. Sad to say, even in the Reformed Church, there are those who are saying, don't expect your young people to live without having sex in their life until marriage. It's just a phase. No, we don't want those kind of sons that give in to the inclinations of our sinful flesh. But we desire boys that are going to grow up in their youth, grow upward and produce much fruit, that are strong in their youth. Strong in their youth so that they can go to battle. They have to fight. And in a battle, what good are weak sons? We want them to be strong because they're going to be one day husbands, and one day they're going to be fathers. One day they're going to be teachers in our schools. One day they're going to be office bearers in God's church. And that happens so soon. They need to be strong, not rebels. Yes, may they grow up in their youth. When the farmer plants his corn in the field, especially here in Michigan, we can have spring times in which it's very cold or it's very wet in the fields. And finally, when the corn comes up, it's rather yellow. And it never matures into big, strong corn then. You almost got to start all over again. We desire our boys to be strong in their youth, growing up like tender plants. A prayer, a desire for strong spiritual sons. We have a desire, second of all, for daughters. Yes, our daughters are just as important as our sons. And as there is a prayer for our sons, there is a prayer for our daughters. That our daughters may be like cornerstones. Cornerstones that hold a building together. You boys and girls, perhaps you play with Legos and you build walls of a house. Well, it's important that in the corners there are interlocking blocks that hold those two walls together. Whether that structure here is a house or whether it's the palace of King Solomon or later on the temple of Solomon, there must be these cornerstones. And we read of that temple that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But now built upon that chief cornerstone are other cornerstones that hold the building together. And often those cornerstones would have an adorning figure. That is, they would be rather visible, they would be prominent, so that the house had an aesthetic, beautiful, pleasing look. I can think of an elder that said once to me about a son-in-law, I could tell that that was his house because as a bricklayer, he was very careful of how he laid those bricks with the cornerstones. An adorning feature of the building. These cornerstones are not cheap stones just laying around in a field, but they are chosen stones. They are cut and they are chiseled. So like these cornerstones of a building that a builder puts up. And yes, one can tell the different builders of houses, can't they? I can go down streets and I can say, yeah, I can tell who built these houses. They're kind of cheesy. And then other houses that are built very beautiful, have a nice look to them. Our daughters are like those cornerstones, whether it be in those houses or whether it be in the king's palace or later on in the temple. That is, they hold things together later on in their life as mothers and as wives, connecting and caring for others. They hold together the Church of Jesus Christ. David, a man of war, would lead other young men often off to war. It was the women left behind that would hold things together. And isn't that true in our lives? As you go off to work during the day, it is our mothers, these daughters of Zion, that see to it that things are done well in our godly home. Our daughters may be cornerstones holding things together, and that they may be polished after the similitude of a palace. Yes, David lived in a beautiful palace. That was his home. Take out those cornerstones and the house would crumble. But they are polished, or literally, they are cut. Like you can take marble and you cut it so it has a nice finish, or you take diamonds or precious stones and you cut them so that it brings forth beauty. What is that beauty of our daughters? The Bible tells us that the beauty of a woman is, doesn't it? Think a moment of Jacob. There he goes north to his uncle Laban. And as he's taking care of the sheep, He sets his eyes upon beautiful Rachel. He's drawn immediately to her. He's willing to work whatever years for her. Beautiful outwardly, but inwardly not so. We remember Rachel is the one who takes the heathen gods of her household and hides them when she's going to leave with Jacob. And over against Rachel, outwardly beautiful, there is Leah. Maybe not quite as beautiful outwardly, but beautiful inward. She is the one through whom the Christ child is going to come. Beautiful daughters, we read in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, that they may be women who adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Or again, from 1 Timothy chapter 3, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of pleated hair, wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be that hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Oh, these daughters are not lacking for attention. They don't look for it. They don't dress themselves to get the attention. But they have that quiet and that meek spirit. Those daughters that are precious and costly, you don't just find them laying around, do you? But you have to search for them. Let me say, young men who are thinking about dating, who are dating, look, young men, for those daughters who have that tender heart, that meek spirit, whose adornment is within as well as without. The contrast of these kind of sons and these daughters that we desire is those strange children, verse 8, that speak vanity. They have crude language. I think that of the advertisement that keeps on bombarding us all the time on the news of our governor and her crude language about the roads, trying to be tough with her language. Those women, these strange children that cannot participate in spiritual things, Our desire is for sons that are strong and daughters that are beautiful. That's the first point. Second point, the necessary prayer for those sons and daughters. Necessary prayer because it is God alone who is able to bring that about. God is that fireman. God is that builder of His church. God, working in the hearts of our sons and daughters, creating them, molding them, making strong, upright sons, beautiful, uniting daughters. God does that. It is He who gives us this heritage of sons and daughters. It is He who prepares them for their life in this world and in the church. He prepares these daughters for us as God prepared a wife for Adam. So we pray. Because He does it by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We pray not because God does it in the way, because of our prayers, but in the way of our prayers. God alone is able to give, to make, to polish these kinds of sons and daughters. And He does it through means, doesn't He? God gives us strong, godly men and beautiful daughters by the way of godly parents in the home. God gives us these kinds of sons and daughters through our good teachers in our Christian schools. God prepares these kinds of sons and daughters for us through the preaching of the Word, through the catechism instruction, the Sunday school instruction. God gives us and prepares these sons and daughters for us through godly companions that they have with them in our homes and in our schools, in our churches. Godly companions. This prayer is necessary for these kinds of sons and daughters because we live in this world with strange children. The wicked that are all the time portrayed, perhaps on our television or in our magazines. We live in a world with a wicked society teaching the opposite of what we ought to be. Strong men and beautiful women. But we have not only those strange children without the walls of the church, but sadly to say, also within the walls of the church. There were the evil sons of Eli harassing the women in the temple. There was the wicked son in David's own house, Absalom. Later on, there is the wicked Esther, who was more interested in pleasing and fornicating with the king, Ahasuerus, than praying for her own people. Strange children that is not following the Word of God, but influenced by the world and its philosophy. And David says, rid me, rid us, deliver us from those strange children, those whose mouths speak vanity, those whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. How we need to pray that our children, not just when they are young, but when they are young adults, and when they leave our homes to find their own homes, when they have their sons and their daughters, we need to keep on praying for our sons and our daughters like Job kept on praying for his married sons and daughters. Oh God, may our sons and our daughters be strong and upright, beautiful, connecting and uniting. The church is pictured as a verdant field and as a beautiful building. This is a necessary prayer for us. Keep that in mind in this prayer day service, but keep it in mind every day and every week of the year. This is a necessary prayer because of our love for Christ's church. You'll notice here that David is not just praying for his own children, but as the king of the nation, he prays and he says the words, "Our sons and our daughters." Expressed in that word, "our," is the covenant love and concern that we all have. Independentism, "I just care about myself and my family," destroys the church. There must be, there will be a love for all of our children. David speaks of our sons and our daughters. That is the prayer of the office bearers and the pastor of this church. That is must be the prayer of every member of this church, whether you are a parent, whether you are a grandparent, whether you're a single person, whether you are a childless home. Every member of the church cares about the kingdom that is the church and therefore cares about the sons and the daughters of the church. O Lord, give. O Lord, create. O Lord, mold. O Lord, preserve these sons and these daughters. And so it's not only thanksgiving to God for such sons and daughters, which He has liberally given, look around in this congregation, but it is a plea, it is a cry for the continuance of that blessing, for the preservation of those sons and those daughters. You see, David is looking forward to the future, and you and I need to. The church will be strong and will be blessed, will be prosperous only so long as she has those kinds of sons and daughters. Remember Israel's history. During the period of the judges, there grew up a generation in which there were those who did not remember what the Lord had done. We pray for our sons and our daughters. We pray for our rising generations, the future of the church. As you love and as you cherish Christ's church, you will pray for her children. Our text is a prayer. This is the desire of David, now uttered to the only one who can do this work. Prayer for children. And therefore, a prayer for the preaching of the Word. Therefore, a prayer for our Christian schools. Therefore, a prayer for our church. Spiritual, upright, strong, beautiful sons and daughters that reflect the beauty of the architect of the building or the farmer of the field, our God in Jesus Christ. A necessary prayer, because God answers prayer. He does. What a wonderful answer was given to David. No, not an Absalom, but a Solomon. What a strong plant he was. How is a young man when the Lord is going to give him the kingdom and he has one request? He says, "Give me wisdom." What devotion he had to the Lord. Oh, no, not always. Not always so strong, not always so wise. Many flaws in our sons and our daughters too. But always by grace, there were sons and there were daughters who clung to the promise, who trusted in the Lord, who lived for the Lord. There was that remnant through whom the line of David was continued. And God gave to David a son. That is, a son who would sit upon the throne forever and ever. What a strong plant he was. His name is the Branch. He is called the root out of dry ground. He is the vine that has many branches that bear much fruit. The prayer was answered ultimately in the Son called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that Son that our text talks about. Oh, what a strong Son that was, able to do war, able to give victory over sin and Satan and death. What a beautiful Son he was who holds his church together. The prayer is answered in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer is answered in the sons and the daughters that we have in Christ Jesus and in his service. It is in our Lord Jesus Christ that we have sons and daughters that are able to grow up strong and be beautiful for Him. Sons and daughters that are rooted in Jesus Christ, have faith, live in love and in obedience. Sons and daughters that are growing up straight and upward, bearing fruit. As Christ holds together His church, these beautiful daughters holding together their homes, their families, and holding together the church of Jesus Christ in their care. God answered David's prayer that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That's the first. That's the primary blessing of the prosperity of the kingdom of God's church. Sons and daughters living for God, building homes and marriages and families and the church. The psalmist ends, happy or blessed is the people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is Jehovah. Be praying. Be praying. God answers our prayers. Pray for the church. Pray especially for sons and daughters who know and love the Lord and live for Him. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this spiritual prosperity that is given to Thy church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. How thankful we are in seeing a young daughter again given to the Van Dyke family. Looking at their other young girls. Looking at the other daughters and sons of the congregation. What a heritage these children are, Father. Bless us in our children. Bless the preaching of the Word. Bless the instruction in the home and in our Christian schools, in the catechism classrooms. Oh Lord, give godly companions to our youth so that they may grow up, that they may be builded as lively stones on Jesus Christ for His glory and for our good. Amen.